Our next story is about a Syrian refugee family here in the Boston area. They've been living in the U.S. for a few weeks now, and tonight they experience their first Passover. Judith Kogan has the story.
Rachel Miller is grating horseradish in preparation for her Seder, the Passover meal. And I'm not her only audience. Ms. Ginn, her husband, and their three children, aged 12, 9, and 5, are watching her work. The Syrian refugee family is spending the year living with Rachel and her husband in a Boston suburb. The youngest is going to Jewish preschool.
Get a little finger in there, otherwise it's not authentic.
Ms. Ginn's family fled the city of Aleppo in 2012 and temporarily resettled in Turkey. They're Yazidi, and they arrived here just after Donald Trump's inauguration and days before the first refugee ban. Passover's a kind of refugee story, too. During the holiday, Jews celebrate their exodus from slavery in Egypt 3,000 years ago. The bitterness of the horseradish is supposed to signify the bitterness of slavery.
Snot. Try that.
Turp, turp.
Fajl, fajl.
Fajl. Ishta fajl.
Fajl. Yes, fajl.
Basura.
Fajl har.
Very spicy.
Yes.
The matzah is an easier sell.
When the Jews left Egypt, they were in such a rush. They had to go quickly. So they made the dough and they baked it immediately. And so it didn't rise and it was flat, just like the chubbas that you eat.
Mm-hmm.
So to remember that, on Passover, we don't eat anything that rises. We eat matzah. This is the bread that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try it? Not bad.
I like it.
Rachel's family knows something about loss. Both her parents were Holocaust survivors from Czechoslovakia. Her mother, Hannah Berkowitz, was sent to Auschwitz when she was 13.
I lost my mother, I lost my father, I lost my two brothers.
Hannah is 85 now and lives nearby.
Loss, for me, fear of loss, was a very strong feeling.
So Hannah says she understands it in Ms. Ginn, who refused to leave her home in Aleppo until the bombs were coming one after the other.
I was at my house until the last minute. The hardest part is when you have to leave everything you're attached to.
Loss is very, very demanding.
Hannah also knows how hard it can be to get beyond loss.
The fear of loss stayed with me all the time. When my children, for one reason or another, didn't come home when they expected to be home, after a certain time when I couldn't control my emotions, you know, like post-traumatic stress disorder, this emotional effect stays with you.
But survivors find support and comfort where they can. One place is in the kitchen, where cultural learning goes both ways.
They've been making maklube, and they're making meluchia, which he doesn't like.
Rachel's family observes Jewish kosher laws. That means no mixing of meat and dairy, and separate plates and utensils for each. It's something she told Ms. Ginn and the family about early on.
We've pretty much figured it out, yeah.
But Passover raises the bar. For those 8 days, observant Jews don't eat bread or grain, and they're not allowed to have it in the house. That was a shock for Ms. Ginn's family, since bread is a staple of their diet. So Rachel has cordoned off an area where the family can eat bread during Passover if they feel like it. Rachel's mother, Hannah, says she survived the Holocaust because after it was over,
whoever I encountered, I felt a helping hand.
This no doubt influenced her daughter's decision to host a Syrian family of 5 for a year. But Rachel's discovered it's not something everybody would do.
When I told people that we were going to be hosting a family, they were astounded and they wanted to know why. And I said, what we're doing is just sharing resources that we already have. It's not like we're making any major sacrifices. We're not putting our family in danger.
When she thinks about what people did to save lives during the Holocaust and the help her mother received,
this is really nothing.
For the world, Judith Kogan, Boston.